free, and many of us might be captive to different things. And throughout the course of this series, we're going to be leaning into some different areas where we might be in captivity to and in bondage to. And I believe today, y'all, after last week's sermon that laid the foundation, I believe today is a perfect follow-up. And so I'm already prepared that today might not be a whole lot of amens, because what we're going to talk about getting free from, I think, is something that many of us struggle with, even to this day. But I believe that we can get free of it. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 21. I'm going to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word, just out of honor for his word. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Here's what it says. Then Peter approached him and asked, "Lord, how many times must I forgive?" Everybody say forgive. "Must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times?" "I tell you, not as many as seven," Jesus replied, "but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Then he began to settle accounts. One who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. And at this, the servant fell face down before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' Then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, 'Pay what you owe.' And at this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into a prison until he could pay what was owed. And when the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. And then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also, Jesus says, my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives," everybody say forgives, "his brother or sister from your heart." I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our Be Free series. And I want to call today's sermon, "It's Time to Let That Go." Already I can see it's tight. It's tight already. Hey, can you tell the person that you're standing next to, say, "Hey, neighbor, it's time to let that go." Come on, find somebody across the room. Say, "Hey, family, it's time to let that go. Time to let that go." Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, would you break down any callousness in our hearts that would get in the way of receiving the word that you have for us today. Lord, already, Lord, you have done great things in our lives. We believe that even through your word, you will bring forth transformation. Help us to not just be hearers of your word, but doers of it as well. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. It's time to let that go. Now, church family, I want to open this message today sharing with you a story that I recently found that I believe is helpful and beneficial and valuable pertaining to what we're going to lean into for the next few moments together. But there's this story where once there was a wise teacher who noticed that one of his students was upset and angry and weighed down by the wrongdoings that came his way at the hands of someone else. One day, story says that the teacher held up a glass of water and asked the class, "How heavy is this glass of water?" Story goes to say that students gave many different answers. As they gave answers, they were guessing the weight in ounces and guessing it in pounds. And the teacher smiled back at the students and said, "The absolute weight of this glass of water does not matter. What matters is how long you hold on to it. If I hold this glass for a minute," he was demonstrating, "it's light and easy. If I hold it for an hour, my arm will start to ache. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed." The teacher continued, "The weight of the glass never changes, but the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes." And he says, "The same is true for the grudges, pain, and unforgiveness that you hold on to in life. That the longer you hold them, the heavier they become, until they start to paralyze you emotionally and spiritually." Here's what he says. "To find relief, you have to learn to let it go." And while we may or may not be familiar with this story, I believe that all of us here today, online and in person, if we're honest, we struggle and have difficulty when it comes to letting things go or when it comes to dealing with the offense, which brings us here to Matthew chapter 18. Because here in Matthew 18, Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, and he's talking earlier in Matthew 18 about how you should respond when somebody sins against you. And he gives some detail in the previous verses prior to the ones that we're reading here, but then following that, the apostle Peter, one of his earlier disciples, comes to him, Simon Peter, asks Jesus a question about being sinned against and what to do when offense has happened. His question centers around a word that many people in here, myself included, struggle with at times, and that word is the word forgiveness. Forgiveness, just so that way we have an understanding from a biblical standpoint of what this means. It means this: not holding a grievance towards another person or people for what they did. Forgiveness is not holding a grievance towards another person or people for something or for what they did. And Peter here, y'all, in these first few verses of the verses that we're reading, he says to Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times?" And to understand the gravity of what he's saying here, the reason why this is so vital that he says seven times is because in Jesus' time, many Jewish rabbis often taught that three times was good enough when it came to extending forgiveness to what somebody did to you. That after the third time, all bets are off. So for Peter to say, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven, in his mind, he's probably thinking, I'm being real generous, because I'm going past what even everybody else says to do. But I wonder, even as I'm reading this, when I read scripture, sometimes my mind goes to different places, and I couldn't help but to wonder, I wonder if Peter was kind of being a little petty here. Jesus, how many times should forgive this? Up to seven for what they did? I wonder if he was being a little petty. I wonder if he was being sarcastic. And the reason why I think that's important to maybe think about is because if we're honest in here, many of us in here deal with that demon called petty. Yes. Amen. Some of y'all in here got a petty spirit. Amen. Come on, let's be honest. Can I be honest? Can I let you in on a little thing? Sometimes your pastor struggles with being petty. Can I be honest? Shouldn't the church be the place where we have honest, real conversations? Y'all judging me right now. Sometimes I get a little petty. You know, like when my Eagles beat a team or something like that, I like to go on Facebook and just blast everybody about it, you know, talk about it. I like to take pictures with the teams that we beat, fans of teams that we beat, people in the church and stuff like that. I like to take a little selfie and be like, hey, loser right here, you know. Y'all pray for my pettiness. But I know I'm not alone, because some of us in here online in person, you petty too. Come on. Y'all real tight on me right now. And I think for some of us, we need to ask God, God, would you deliver me from the petty me? Because I think all of us can be a little petty at times. And sometimes rightfully so, because when it comes to dealing with the topic that we're talking about right here, when we've been hurt or when we've been wounded, sometimes what's problematic is that this train of thought is similar to that of the culture that we live in, and even the culture that Jesus and his disciples found themselves living, which is when it came to forgiveness, that forgiveness comes to a point. And many believe, like many today, believe, but hey, there's a certain point when you cross a certain line, I'm not forgiving you any longer. And y'all, that's typically the way of culture. That's the worldview that many possess when it comes to forgiveness, that forgiveness has conditions. That forgiveness is selective. In many regards, forgiveness is often what is not deserved, some of us believe, when someone has done us wrong. Which is why when Jesus illustrates this point, he illustrates this point specifically when he begins to tell this parable about how this servant, which we'll see in a moment, was forgiven of an enormous debt, but how he had a fellow worker who owed him a debt but would not forgive him the way he was forgiven. That's really the spirit of the age that we live in. That we want to be forgiven, but we don't like to be forgiving. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I know it's today. It's tough today. And just like Peter in this text, We too can have some questions when it comes to forgiveness and whether a person deserves forgiveness for what they did, whether a person deserves forgiveness for what they said. We live in this world where unforgiveness thrives, where people hold on to grudges, where families are divided because of offenses, where friendships are fractured because of some resentment. And some of us are here today, and you're dealing with this very thing at this moment. You're dealing with some offenses in your heart at this moment. And here's what I know about all of us in here today. Even if this is your first time here at the Bridge, welcome home. It's good to see you. But here's what I know about you, even if I haven't met you. You have been offended by somebody. And if you haven't been offended by somebody, keep on living, because eventually it will happen. Some of us have dealt with offense where a friend betrayed us. Some of us have dealt with offense where a coworker lied on you, got you fired. Some of us have dealt with offense where a family member may have stole something from you, where a spouse may have offended you, where a sibling may have wronged you, where you might have been abandoned by somebody that you trusted. You might have experienced some verbal abuse by somebody or some physical abuse by somebody. You might have been mistreated. And when this happens, just like we talked about last week, y'all, we wrestle on the inside. Our spirit from God is ultimately telling us what we should do. But the flesh is saying, I can't let this go, because what you did to me was wrong. I can't let it slide how you just lied on me like that. I can't let it slide how you turn your back on me. And many of us are here and we're dealing with this question internally. How can I forgive this person for what they did to me? After all that I did for them, they did this to me. You did this to me? Let me stop right here, because some of y'all about to go to a place. You'll be playing basketball. Let me stop, stop. Some of y'all didn't get it. It's okay. I'm back. Pastor's back. I'm back. But some of us are like, after all that I did for you, and you lied on me like this? I put my heart and soul into this relationship, and you betrayed me? I thought we was cool, but then on the job, you were acting brand new. And you lied on me. Come on, this is not relegated to just adults. This is students as well. Middle school, high school, this kids as well. We know what it's like to be offended. I was playing on the playground and you jumped on the slide before me. Fam, what's wrong? What you doing? You ate the last pizza in the cafeteria. What's good? All of us have been wounded. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what your color is, what your background is. All of us have been wounded by people, and we've been hurt by people. And we've been hurt to a point where we say, I'm not forgiving you for nothing. I'm not letting this go. Like, you deserve every bit of energy that I'm giving you right now. Come on, can we be real? I can tell this is hitting a nerve, because ain't nobody saying nothing right now. We deal with that, and we wrestle with that. And here's what I don't want to deny that, because that's true. I believe that many of us, and myself included, we've been hurt by people. We've been wounded by people. We've been cut by people that we were close to. We see episodes and moments like this all throughout the course of Scripture. We see in the book of Genesis how a guy by the name of Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, brothers that he should have been able to trust in, and brothers who should have been able to take care of him, but they left him for dead, and they sold him into slavery as a teenager. And for years, his life was affected by this. And many of us have experienced all types of pain and hurt at the hands of people. We've been sinned against by others, and we can't ignore that. And that is true. But do you know what is also true while we talk about that? We've also sinned against God. We've also grieved the Spirit of God. You and I, can I let you know this? You and I have sinned against God more than others have sinned against us. Come on, let's be honest. We've lied. We've been disobedient. We've been stubborn. We've gone against God's word. There's been nothing that we've done to warrant God's forgiveness. But here's what's interesting. The text shows us something in this parable about this topic of forgiveness. When you look at verses 23 through 27, you see something powerful happen. The Bible says that for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have enough money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debts. Here's what we see. Brother is dead broke. And he doesn't have enough to pay the debt. Here's what the Bible says next. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Verse 27, then the master of the servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. Do you know the first thing I thought about when I read this? How wealthy was this master to not want this enormous amount of resource paid back by his worker? Matter of fact, theologians have said that the 10,000 talents here would equate to millions of dollars in our pay scale, in our currency today. So this brother owed his boss millions of dollars. First of all, I'm trying to figure out, was you stealing from your boss? Were you cooking the books? What was you doing? Either way, he owed him millions of dollars, y'all. But the master forgives the debts. And I couldn't help but to think, how rich is the master to say, you good, don't worry about the millions? Because I'm going to be real. If one of us owed me $10 million, you landing on my property, but Monopoly style. Pay me. Do not pass go. Do not collect 400 and 200. Come on, y'all looking at me crazy. You know good and well somebody owed you $10 million. You be like, hey, I love Jesus, but fam, like, it's $10 million right here, chief. But the master forgives the debt. How rich does this master have to be? And this parable is ultimately a picture of who God is. Because when we think about how rich the master can be and might be, it makes me think about what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, which shows who God is. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it again just in case you didn't get it. Ephesians 2, 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You have been saved by grace. Can I let you know that the reason why God has extended forgiveness to all of us, myself included, is because he's rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. Mercy is God not giving what your negligence and sin rightfully deserved. Why is this good news? Because just like the servant, here's what we recognize. You and I have ran up the sin debt and have ran up the sin tab, and you and I don't have what it takes to pay for it. But God the Father, the Master, the Father of all lives, the one who is rich in mercy, had compassion and forgave us by sending his son Jesus Christ to pay for our sins with his life on the cross. We didn't deserve forgiveness, but he gave it anyway. We didn't deserve mercy, but he gave it anyway. We didn't deserve grace, but he gave it anyway. We didn't deserve to be pardoned, but he gave it anyway. And what this parable helps us to be able to see is that the message of the gospel is that in Christ Jesus, God forgave us of all of our sin. Pastor, how do you know that? Because the first words that Jesus said when he was on the cross being crucified for something he did not do was, Father, forgive them. You know who the them is? Them is you. Them is us. Them is me. Father, forgive them. Those are his first words. He doesn't say, Father, give them what they deserve. He doesn't say, Father, kill them all for their sin. He doesn't say, Father, let them pay this sin debt that they owe. He doesn't say, angels, Father, send them down. Wipe everybody out. Start over. No. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And I don't know about you. I'm glad that the message of Jesus is a message of forgiveness, forgiving me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sin, past, present, and future. Last week, I read a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where Paul is talking about all these different types of sins and lifestyles. And he said, these type of people won't inherit the kingdom of God. The sexually immoral won't inherit the kingdom of God. The idolaters won't inherit the kingdom of God. The liars won't inherit the kingdom of God. He says males who have sex with males won't inherit the kingdom of God. People who are swindlers won't inherit the kingdom of God. People who are dealing with all these other types of things that are not of God won't inherit the kingdom of God. And if the message stops there, that's bad news for all of us. But in the next verse, Paul says, but you have been washed and you have been cleansed and you have been forgiven and you have been made new and you have been brought into the new reality of who Jesus Christ is. And I just want to know, is there anybody here that's grateful for the forgiveness of God and the, come on somebody, the mercy of God? Come on, you deserve to be cast away from God, but thank God that he's rich in mercy. Saves you from your sin. You and me and our trifling tendencies and ways. Because the Bible says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. Do you know what that translates to in the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament when Isaiah quotes that? He's talking about menstrual rags. He says, that's as good as your righteousness is. But thank God that we don't get access to the heaven and to the King of Kings based upon our righteousness. No, we get access to the kingdom of God based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That when we say yes to Jesus, we are saved by grace through faith. Thank God that he's rich in mercy. Thank God that he forgives us. And what Jesus is helping us to see in this scripture is this whole principle about forgiveness. And now the Bible helps us to also see that because God has forgiven you, here's what we see in this text. Jesus is calling you and I to forgive others. See, it's easy to get excited about the fact that God has extended forgiveness to us and for us to embrace that. It's easy to embrace forgiveness, but it's hard to extend it. It's easy to embrace forgiveness, but it's often a challenge to express forgiveness. But this is what the Bible calls us to do as believers. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. Let all bitterness, everybody say bitterness. Some of us in here, we're bound to bitterness right now. We're bitter because of what somebody said to us. We're bitter because of what somebody did to us. We're angry because of that. We have wrath in our hearts, which means evil thoughts and evil desires towards them because of what they did. He says, let shouting be removed. No amens right now. Let slander be removed, along with all malice. Here's why. Verse 32, he says, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Why is this important? Because what oftentimes happens is that even though we've been forgiven by Jesus, I want you to understand this, we can still find ourselves imprisoned to offense. As a matter of fact, as I just mentioned, many of us are bound to bitterness because of what somebody said or did to us. Many of us are living offended lives because of something that someone said or did, and we have not been able to overcome it. I want you to write this down because this is true. We can be forgiven by God, but still be living offended by people. Can I let you know this? You can come in here, we can sing, Jehovah needs to fight my battles. Waymaker, miracle worker, light of the darkness, all that. Believe in Jesus and still got animosity in your heart towards a friend. Right? We could be here, lift up our hands. Oh my gosh, Jesus, you're just so awesome. You're incredible. Thank you, Lord, so much. Oh, you're so faithful. And then when somebody walk in the room, I can't stand them. Switched up real quick. Right? Your whole energy change. Your whole countenance change. You get triggered. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, y'all looking at me funny like y'all know what I'm talking about. You know how it is when everybody's all pleasant and kikiing and all this other good stuff in the lunchroom or whatever and on the job and in the classroom and you all cool, but the minute somebody walks in the atmosphere or walks in the environment that offended you, everything changes. You're like, let me go ahead to class. Let me go ahead and clock in. You don't clock in for another hour. Let me go ahead and clock in. It's Thanksgiving, you got a family member there who wronged you. It's Christmas, you got a family member there who's wronged you. The minute they come in the house, you go in the other room. I'm gonna go sit at the kiddie table. I can't stand you. Come on, talk to Pastor, be real today. We know we got a little bit of that in this right now. Oh, I can't stand them. Some of y'all feel like that about some people in the church. Can't stand you. Some of us just get real good at covering it up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We do it all the time at work. We do it all the time around people. How you doing? The real you coming out now. Come on, let's be real. Can I ask you this question today? What offense are you holding on to right now that you need to let go of? Let me give us some signs and symptoms to show us that we might be in prison to offense. Constantly revisiting what was done by that person. Constantly bringing it up. It makes its way into every conversation. We're talking about football, and you're talking about how they cussed you out all the time. We're talking about this, and it just somehow makes its way in the conversation. Having a vindictive attitude towards a person that I don't think was best for them, I think was worse. I hope you get a flat tire. I hope you do. I hope what happens to you, what happened to me, happens to you too. Hope you get it. Y'all real today, huh? I want you to get a taste of what it feel like. Oh, you know what we say? When something happened to them, that's how it felt. That's what you get for what you did. Then we try to spiritualize it. You reap what you sow. Here's another symptom and a sign. Yelling, shouting, these outbursts, anger, elevated tone in conversation, holding a grudge. Can I give you another symptom that's oftentimes shown in whether or not we're in prison? It's a resentment and a bitterness, loss of joy. You don't have no joy. You're just mad all the time. And it's hard for you. It's even hard for you to trust people. Because the last time you feel like I trusted somebody, they took advantage of that. But can I let you know that the longer we hold on to bitterness and resentment and grudges, the longer we stay in emotional and mental and even spiritual strongholds and bondage. Let me just plainly say it like this. Until you let go of it, it won't let go of you. So this is why you and I could still carry around something that happened 15 years ago, but carry it around today like it happened today. Because it's still got a hold on us. Here's what Hebrews 12:15 says. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness can take root in our hearts. He says, make sure that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. Yes, the truth is we've been wronged by people, but what's also true is that we've also wronged people and we've wronged God, but God, in spite of that, has forgiven us. And the message of the Bible on forgiveness is clear, that we need to be forgiven by Jesus, and we also need to be forgiving like Jesus. We need to be forgiven by Jesus. You can't pay for your sin on your own, neither can I. Thank God that He offers forgiveness. We need to embrace that. We need to receive that. I can't have a new life apart from Christ. John 15 says, apart from me, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Plainly put, without Jesus, I suck. But with Jesus, I got life and life more abundantly. But that's only part of it. He says, I don't want you just to experience and embrace my forgiveness. I want you to extend it as well. And today, some of us are here, and we're in bondage right now to bitterness and in bondage to offense. Here's what Nelson Mandela says. He says, resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. Many of us are poisoned right now by resentment, thinking that we're actually free, but we're actually bound. Here's what Pastor Max Licato says. He says, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. And I wonder how many of us in here right now are imprisoned to offense. Jesus says in Luke 4, though, I have come to set the captives free and to proclaim release to those who are in bondage. Who is that? That's us. Because even though we might be spiritually set free, many of us can still be in emotional bondage and mental bondage because of wounds that have happened. I'm here to let you know that Jesus says, I don't want to just save you from your sin. I want to save you from your strongholds as well. He says, I want to set you free from what they said. I want to set you free from what they did. I want to set you free from what you thought they should have done. In short, here's the message. It's time to let it go. It's time to let that go. Can I ask you this question? What is the that you need to let go of? What are the things that you and I need to let go of? What are the things that you and I are harboring and holding on to that we need to let go of? And what we see here in this scripture, in Matthew 18, as Jesus is talking about forgiveness, he gives this response to Peter that when we've been hurt, when we've been sinned against, when we've been wronged, that the way forward, y'all, is not resentment. The way forward is forgiveness. And Jesus helps us to see some truths when it comes to forgiveness that I want us to see, and they run contrary to what culture says forgiveness is. Number one, forgiveness, write this down, is limitless. Everybody say it's limitless. Notice what the Bible says in verse 21 through 22. Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Why is this important? Because here's what Jesus is helping us to see. We'll get to the 70 times seven in a minute. But notice what Peter says. How many times should I forgive a brother who sins against me? What you'll see in this passage is that there is no emphasis on what the sin is, or what the offense is, or what the wrongdoing is. Because forgiveness is not limited to one thing or to one offense, but rather it is unlimited in its scope of all things. Here's what I'm plainly saying. Jesus says, I don't want you just to forgive a person for doing one type of thing. I want you to forgive people for all the wrongdoings. Meaning this, you and I are to forgive all things. Everybody say all things. No matter the offense, we are forgive no matter the sin debt. Pastor, I don't understand that, but that's what Jesus did for us. Thank God that he wasn't picking and choosing what sins he was going to forgive. Thank God that on a cross his blood covered it all. This is important because it's easy to believe that some things are forgivable, but other things are not. Well, if that's the case, none of us would be able to be with him in heaven. Thank God that he doesn't pick and choose what sins he's going to forgive. That the blood is powerful to cover all of my sins. You need scripture. Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Watch this. Through him, everyone who believes is set free. Everybody say free.
Free.
Set free from every sin. Not just a few sins, but every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. I thank God that the blood of Jesus is sufficient enough to cover and to forgive every sin that I've ever committed and will commit. It don't matter what type it is, it don't matter what it is, that his blood covers it. And if it's good enough for me to receive it, it's also good enough for me to extend it. So that pokes a hole in cultural philosophy and religion that says forgive to a point. No. Jesus is like, no. It don't matter what was done. Forgive it. Here's what Colossians 3:13 says. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do you see the motivation behind forgiveness? It's not based upon what the person does. It's based upon what Jesus has done. It'd be different if it was based upon what people do, because then we would have a leg up. Then we could say, well, their sin was crazy. My forgiveness has reached its capacity. I can't forgive that. But our forgiveness is not based upon what they have done. Our forgiveness is based upon the forgiveness and mercy and grace and love of Jesus Christ. And because he is the standard, because he is the prototype, because he is the motivation now that compels me to do the same thing for others. We forgive others because Jesus first forgave us. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. We now forgive because he first forgave us. Thank God that he doesn't pick and choose what he's going to forgive us of. Thank God that he's not selective with what he wants to wash away. Because sin stains, and it don't matter what kind of sin it is, it has the same effect. The wages of sin is death. All sin, it doesn't matter what it is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank God. And so he says this, I want you to forgive people for whatever they do to you. Pastor, even if they do the unthinkable, forgive them. Pastor, that's not fair. Well, if you're going to say that about that, you got to also say it about you too. Because what happened to Jesus was not fair, but he did it for you. He got what you and I deserved. Thank God we don't get fair. Thank God we get grace. You don't want fair. Let me say it like this. You don't want that smoke. Thank God he don't give us fair. Thank God he give us grace. And he gives us mercy. And so what Jesus is helping us to understand is that forgiveness should be limitless. But here's the second thing I want us to see, that forgiveness is not just to be limitless. Forgiveness is also meant to be endless. This is where it gets real. Because it's one thing to forgive every type of sin, but then, Pastor, what if they keep doing it over and over again? Come on, at some point, enough is enough, right? Come on, Pastor, come on. It's only but so many times I'm gonna take them lying on me before they catch these hands. But forgiveness doesn't have an expiration date. Forgiveness is endless. How do we know this? Because notice what Jesus says to Peter. I'm coming back to what he said. When Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven. Jesus is like, no. 70 times seven. When you do that multiplication math problem, that's 490 for all of my middle school and high school students. Some of y'all are like, I'm not even in middle school and I didn't even know that, but it's been a long time. But here's the principle that Jesus is lifting up. By the time you get to 400, you've lost count. It's unlimited. It's endless. We're not keeping score, which is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. And what some of us have been doing is we've been keeping the receipts. Well, I remember, since you talking about it, you remember what you did to me? That person I've been forgot. I remember. And I got these receipts. But thank God that Jesus doesn't hold receipts when it comes to our sin. Come on, let's be real. Could you imagine if Jesus wanted to pull the record book on you? If anybody was to say, I got receipts, it would be him. Because he perfect. We talking about something. I got receipts for what they did. Jesus is like, oh, really? Well, since we're talking about receipts, family, let's go ahead and look at Exhibit A. But thank God that even when it comes time to looking at Exhibit A, that those receipts that the enemy will constantly try to bring back to our remembrance have been stained in the blood of Christ. So we can't even make out what the sins were. Why? Because the blood has washed us. It's endless. Because love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Pastor, are you saying I forget? No, I'm not saying you forget it. You're human. You're not going to forget that. It impacted you. But what we're talking about is no longer holding that against them. Pastor, this is hard. Yes, it is. It's simple, but it ain't easy. It's clear what we're supposed to do, but it ain't easy. This is why you need the grace of God to do this. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't. How you gonna forgive somebody when they betrayed you after you poured so much of your heart and soul in? How can you do that in your own strength? You can't. You only need the grace of God to do that. You need the forgiveness of God to do that. Which brings us to verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. The debt was something that this servant could never pay, y'all. He would have been paying on this multiple lifetimes. But because of the endless forgiveness of his master, which represents God, because of the endless mercy and forgiveness of God, that debt has been washed away. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do. Let your forgiveness be endless. Pastor, I need scripture. I'm glad you asked. Here's what Lamentations 3 says. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. Watch this. For his mercies never end. You ought to be glad that the mercies of God did not end yesterday, because you wouldn't be here today. If the mercies of God would have ended in 2023, you would have never made it to 2024. But the Bible says in verse 23 that his mercies are new every single morning. Every single day you got a new mercy from God. Every single week you got new mercies from God. Thank God that his mercies do not run out, but they are endless. And so he says, anybody who's a part of my family, who got my name on them, just as my mercies are endless towards them, yours needs to be endless towards other people. Constantly forgiving him. Here's what I recognize just in thinking about this whole aspect of forgiveness, that when we fail to forgive, you know what it's a form of? It's a form of revenge. Because I'm withholding something from you in a way to try to get you back for what you did to me. Forgiveness ultimately is an act of compassion. And to fail to extend compassion when hurt is a form of trying to get somebody back for what they said or for what they did. Pastor, they owe me an apology. You're right, but you might not ever get it. Pastor, they wrong. They did me dirty. You are 1,000% correct. I'd be just as mad as you. They should apologize and own that. What did they never do? Forgiveness is not based upon getting an apology. Because once again, it's not based upon what they do. It's based upon what God has already done for me. So whether you say sorry to me or not, I'm still going to give you forgiveness and still extend you forgiveness. Not because you deserved it. It's simply because I didn't deserve the forgiveness that God gave to me in Jesus Christ. So even though my flesh says, don't forgive, God tells me to forgive. And I may not get an apology. Some of you have been holding on to so much resentment because you're waiting for a person to apologize. For some of you, you are upset and angry with somebody who will never be able to apologize because they either live in another state, another country, another city, and some of them may have even transitioned from this life to the next. They are 6 feet deep. You will never get an apology. Your forgiveness is not based upon that, though. It's based upon what God has done. I got to be okay with recognizing I might not ever get what I think I deserve. But here's the reality. You also never got from God what you did deserve. So they might not ever say, I'm sorry. But you know what Jesus says? Forgive them. They may not ever own up for what they did. You know they lied on you, and they still lied to you about it, that they didn't do it. But you know, you got receipts. You got proof. They might not ever own it. Forgive them. And some of us are bound to bitterness because we're waiting for somebody to own up for it. But what if they never do? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Reconciliation takes two people. But forgiveness only takes one person. The person who's been offended. And Jesus says, I want you to release that. Because our forgiveness is not based on what we've received from people. It's based upon what we've received from God. I like what Pastor Alistair Begg says. He says this, when I fail to forgive you, it's because I've exaggerated the offense against me and I have minimized my offense against God. I'm gonna say it again just in case we didn't get it. We might have got it on the screen. When I fail to forgive you, it's because I've exaggerated the offense against me and I have minimized my offense against God. Here's what he's saying. In other words, we get short-term and selective amnesia. We've minimized how much we've sinned against God. We've made that little compared to what others have done to us. And matter of fact, that's what happens here in the text. Because we see in this text, the first worker, he owed, as I mentioned, millions of dollars to his master. And the master forgave him of that debt. You would think that the story would end there and it would be a happy-go-lucky story. No, it takes a turn, plot twist. And he finds, this servant, finds another worker who owed him, the Bible says, about 100 denarii. That's about $1,000. So compare the debts. Let's just say Bob. Bob owed $10 million. Charlie owed $1,000. Bob is forgiven for his millions of dollars of debt. But yet Bob is going to put Charlie in a chokehold because he owed him $1,000. And what's happening here in this text, as we see, I'm paraphrasing, but as you see in this text, this happens. The servant goes up to his fellow servant. He's choking him. He says, pay me what you owe me, fam. You owe me $1,000, dog. Bro, you forgot that you owe $10 million. You just got washed clean of that. And so what's happening here on the scene is some of the other servants catch wind of what's going on. Hey, man, you see what Bob doing to Charlie? They call him Chuck. You see what he doing to Chuck? He out here choking Chuck. Over $1,000. Hey, didn't boss forgive the $1 million that Bob owes? Yeah, he tripping, man. And he out here tripping over this $1,000? Hey, we got to go tell the boss. And the Bible says that they go back and they report to the master. I'm paraphrasing. This is the Pastor Edward version. Hey, boss, look, I ain't saying no names. But Bob, the one you know owes you a few mil, went and choked out Charlie because he owed him $1,000. But I ain't saying no names. I'm not snitching. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to be a good worker here, you know. Equitable pay here, you know. And so the master, the boss, comes back to Bob. It's like, hey man, so word on the street is you went and choked out Chuck. Because, I don't know why I'm saying this, but you went in on Charlie because he owed you a little bit of money. When I forgave you of the enormous debt, that you would have never had enough money to pay in a few lifetimes. You know what the Bible says? He says, you wicked, evil servant, he calls him. He said, you should have forgave him the same way I forgave you. He said, how are you going to sit up here and hold against him something that's small compared to something I didn't hold against you, which was big? How are you going to be hypocritical, fam? You didn't have the money to pay me back. And he probably don't got the money to pay you back, but your debt was larger. Shouldn't you have extended the same mercy that I extended to you? He says, you wicked servant in verse 32, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And watch the text, verse 34, and because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. Here's what I want us to see here. For some of us, we're saying, Pastor, it's too hard to forgive. Can I let you know? It's harder not to forgive. Because as a result of this servant not forgiving, it led to his own suffering. He was a prisoner to his own resentment. His unforgiveness led to his own suffering. Here's the lesson I want us to see as we close, that our unforgiveness, our holding resentment in our hearts, leads to our own suffering. Bitterness is a heavy weight, and for many of us, it's been holding us down. But Pastor, it's so hard to forgive. I get it. I know it's hard to forgive, but God is inviting you and I today to let it go, because until you let it go, it's going to continue to weigh you down. It's going to continue to impact every area of your life. It's going to continue to cause you to be stressed, and it's going to strain relationships, and it's going to cause you to not be able to have sleep, pure sleep nights. You're going to have sleepless nights. Your heart rate is going to be up. It's going to affect all different areas of your life. You won't be able to trust people because you got this thing dealing on the inside of you called resentment and bitterness. It's a weight that you're carrying. Last week I closed the sermon giving you an illustration showing how Jesus cleanses us of our sin. I want to show you another illustration about how we can hold on to an offense that in God's eyes might be minor when somebody does something to us, and how it affects us. And so this 5-pound dumbbell essentially is when somebody wrongs us, impacts us, lies on us, wounds us. And instead of forgiving, we end up carrying it around. And what happens is we're like, okay, I'm good, you know. I'm carrying around, I'm good. Like, it's not really bothering me. And for a little bit, you might be right. You might be able to dress it up real nice. But over time, the longer you carry that weight, the more it weighs you down. So it's a 5-pound dumbbell, but if you hold this a little bit longer than a few minutes, 5 pounds. How you feeling? You all right? You good? And that's what many of us do. It's weighing us down. I'm good though. I'm good. No, you're not. You bitter, you mad, you resentful, and you're carrying it around, and people can see it all over you. You could dress it up with a smile, but beneath that is resentment. And what's happening now is the more you carry this around, the more you hold on to this, the more you live with this, the weightier it becomes. The more you try to go to work with it, the more you try to do life with it, it becomes heavier and heavier. How you feeling? It's getting a little heavy now, huh? Yeah. And so then what we try to do is, as it gets a little heavy, it gets a little uncomfortable, we still try to fix it ourselves. Or we try to stuff it in deeper even more. I'm gonna just ignore this. But not recognizing that it's affecting you. This weight right here of unforgiveness, it's heavy. It gets heavy. That wound that they caused, I know it hurt, but as long as you carry it around, it's gonna continue to hurt you. And here's what's crazy. As he's holding this dumbbell, he's not just feeling it here, but now he starts to feel it here in other parts of his body. Because when you're carrying around resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it doesn't just impact one area of your life. It impacts every area of your life. It moves. It affects how you look at people. It affects how you work. It affects how you worship. And sometimes it even affects how you see God. Because I'm carrying around this offense. And some of us are like, but Pastor, it's too hard to let go. I can't let go of this. It's too much. But I want to let you know that I hear Jesus on the cross saying, I know what that feels like. I was on the cross and I was carrying some weight. The weight of your sin. But when I went to the cross, I went to the cross to carry your weight so that you wouldn't have to. And what he says is, if you would just simply let it go, you can be released of the pain and the stress and the hardship that you're facing. But Pastor, it's too much. I can't let it go. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. Jesus said, let it go. You got to let that thing go because it's costing you too much peace. It's costing you too much hope. It's costing. But Pastor, you don't know how they stabbed me in the back. You don't know how they abandoned me. You don't know how they abused me. He says, let it go. Let it go and be free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But Pastor, it's too much. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my identity. But Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Pastor, I hear you. It's just too much. Can I let you know? You can hold your grudge, or you can hold God's grace, but you can't hold both. And many of us are asking for God's grace, and he says, well, you got to humble yourself and let it go. Because here's what's happened. When we let it go, we're putting that wound and we're putting that offense in the hands of Jesus Christ. Can I let you know that on the cross, what Jesus did in his hands, he took our wounds, he took our stripes, he took our bitterness, he took our forgiveness, come on, he took all the things that would happen, which is why Peter says that by his stripes, we are healed. And I just wanna know, is there anybody here that's glad about the fact that we don't gotta carry around the weight of unforgiveness any longer? No, I can drop it, I can let it go, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But I gotta let it go. I gotta let it go. Want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. For many of you, you've been wanting to be free. But can I let you know that you play a part in your freedom? When it comes to this, your participation is you letting it go. Because as long as you're clenching that, nothing is getting out, nothing is coming in. But when you release the pain, God's grace can flow in. God's grace can flow out. And I don't know about y'all, I don't want to hold on to things any longer that have harmed me, that have affected me. No, I want to release all of my cares on Christ, which is why Peter says, cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. And what some of us need to be free from is resentment, offense, bitterness, strife, grudges. Grudges is what keeps family members from talking to each other for 20, 30 plus years. Grudges is what keeps people from being able to repair relationships. Grudges is what keeps people from being able to move forward with their life or move forward in a relationship. Can I let you know this? Your better days are in front of you. God has so many great things in store for you, but it starts right now with you beginning to release some things to him and to let some things go. So I want to lead us in a prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here in this moment, I want to let you know this, that until you really embrace the forgiveness of God, you'll never be able to express the forgiveness of God. And for some of us, the reason why it is hard for us to give forgiveness is because we haven't received forgiveness. But can I let you know that with you, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But Pastor, it's hard. I didn't say it was going to be easy. It's simple, though. And the way that we begin to experience forgiveness and extend forgiveness is by calling on the name of Jesus, receiving his forgiveness, receiving his power, receiving his love. And for some of you, that's your prayer today, and that needs to be your step today. That before you talking about extending forgiveness to others, you need to ask, have I really received the forgiveness of Christ? Have I come into a relationship with him? Have I received him as my Lord and as my Savior? Can I let you know this, that Jesus wants a relationship with you today. He wants to carry your weight and your sin so that you don't have to any longer. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I want to start over. I want a new beginning. I want to be in relationship with Jesus. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. On the count of three, could you shoot up your hand? I just want to see you. One, two, three. If this is you, you want to start over with Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, wherever you are. Slip up your hand. I just want to see you. If you're online, this is for you as well. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, you're saying, this is what I want. I want a new beginning with Jesus. I want to start over with him. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said, amen. Come on, church family, can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on, can we bless God? Amen. If you're